The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, this is Michael Uslan. You're listening to Batman on Film.
I'm vengeance.
I have given a name to my pain.
We are kill
the Bat of Gotham.
I'm Batman.
Hey now, Jet here from Batman on Film. Support for the Batman on Film podcast and Batman on Film is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Champions of the world, Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. Join over 2 million men, including me, worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer just for you for being a Batman on Film listener. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code JETBOF. That's JETTBOF at manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JETBOF at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code JETBOF. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Hey now, welcome to episode number 36. I had to think on this one. This is the Vince Albritton version of the Batman on Film social hour. Vince Albritton, we're number 36, the Cowboys in the late 80s. And he was a safety.
That's David Cone for me. You're asking me.
David Cone. Pitcher, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. For the Yankees, yes.
Yep. Yankees, Mets, Blue Jays, Royals. He made the rounds. Red Sox.
Okay. Okay. So as you can see, I'm still in a good mood. I'm on a 5-week run
so
now.
Am I.
There you go.
So I'm glad,
yeah. Yes. Pete Bear, everybody. Pete Bear is here, senior BOF contributor. How you doing today?
I've been good. I got nothing to complain about. I'm just rewatching trailers.
Yeah. Well, speaking of a trailer, we're going to focus on one specific trailer that dropped at DC FanDome this past Saturday, and that would be trailer number 2 for The Batman. But before we get into it, the build-up for this has been going on for a long time because, even before it was announced officially, I had heard and I'd been saying, and I'm sure others have as well, that, and everybody expected that they would drop a trailer for The Batman at FanDome, and then, mm-hmm. and it would essentially kick off the marketing for the film, which it did, because Thursday and Friday, Friday, Matt Reeves and The Batman started Thursday, right?
Yeah, they threw out little teases.
Okay, the first one was, I believe, it was really cool. It was, it's not just a signal. It's mm-hmm. a warning.
And, yeah, that was great.
Yeah. And a little GIF and advertising that the new trailer was going to drop on during FanDome. And then Friday, we got posters. And we got a poster of the Riddler. We got a poster of Batman. And we got a shot of Zoe Kravitz as Selina Kyle. And we also got, was it Wednesday or Thursday? Anyway, it was one of the days leading up. was that kind of panoramic scene, yes, from shot of Batman overlooking, from behind overlooking Gotham, which was really cool, and we saw in the trailer. So, you know, that came through Matt Reeves' Twitter and so forth, and social media, and also all the Batman social media.
The Riddler quickly became my phone background.
Yeah, okay.
Very fast.
And so, you know, all this comes on the heels. On the last show, Pete, we talked about, you know, the Lego sets have been released, and you can pre-order. Mm-hmm. The McFarlane stuff is up for pre-order right now.
We got three toys. You got Batman, Catwoman, and Riddler, and a Batcycle.
Mm-hmm. So I did pre-order those. I did. I will say that.
I got to get the car. I can't wait to get this car. And you can see I got the 66 one right behind me. I haven't even opened it up yet. So.
And speaking of the marketing kickoff, so I'm watching my Dallas Cowboys play the Belichicks yesterday.
Belichick.
And hey, nothing but mad respect for Coach Belichick. You know, as a coach, I mean, I'm not even near his level. He's probably the greatest of all time. But the Cowboys have not beat the Patriots since 1996, and Bill Parcells was
really. It's been that long.
It was head coach. I was at that game actually.
Oh, geez.
It was at Old Texas Stadium. And they had not won in Foxborough since 87.
Oh, geez.
And so, ironically, back in 87, it was an overtime game, and it ended with a 60-yard Herschel Walker walk-off run to the end zone, TD run. Okay. And yesterday's game, which was great to watch, it was aged about 25 years. You know, football, watch, it's like 3 hours of torture. And then you're either pissed off for a week, or then it's euphoria. You know, I mean, I know, life of a sports fan. And so yesterday's was a overtime game. It was a 35-yard pass from Dak Prescott to CeeDee Lamb.
That game went overtime too. I knew Seattle went overtime.
Yeah,
with Pittsburgh.
Walk off, 35-yard touchdown pass.
The Braves walked off the Dodgers last night. There's walk offs everywhere.
Yeah, walking off everywhere. So anyway, I'm watching the game, and you know they're having the this presentation of the NFL Cowboys Patriots is brought to you by such and such and such, and the Batman coming exclusively to the theaters March 4th, 2022. And so I said, they're smart. This game is going to be probably the most watched NFL game of the year so far, Patriots and Cowboys. And they drop a Batman spot in it. And they did. And so during the game, there was a, 30-second TV spot for the Batman. Mm-hmm.
I just watched it myself. It's not bad. It's pretty good. The music's different.
Yeah.
I would say it takes the highlights out of everything, really. It's fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm still watching the 2-minute, 40-second main trailer. Yeah. But, for a commercial during a football game, I think it's a great way to get people's attention.
Yeah. That tells me also, a Super Bowl spot's coming.
I hope a Super Bowl
spot's coming.
You think they'll buy? I know Super Bowl spots can be very expensive. So, is there any chance that would be a minute long, or do you think they'll stick with 30 seconds? I think that they either do like a minute or 30.
Yeah, I don't know. Warner Brothers got a lot of money, so
they're about to make a lot more.
Do a minute. Do the minute. I'm gonna be selfish. So, but 4.5 months out, we already got merchandise starting to roll in. And TV spots are showing up. So, and hey, I wouldn't be surprised one bit if a spot shows up at one of these baseball championship series games, or even in the World Series for that matter. So
I'm sure it's coming. I mean, they want all eyes on this. They know that, sports is a big draw for everybody. It's going to be publicized everywhere. It just reeks confidence in Warner Brothers. They've been confident in this project since day one. They've been announcing spinoff projects before trailers. So It's just going to be everywhere. You're going to see it on network TV. You're going to see it on cable. I'm sure the trailer will be playing in movie theaters. It's just out there. It's happening, you know? And yeah. It's interesting. It's very interesting because it doesn't seem like they're playing a whole lot of on the Riddler stuff. You know, the Riddler seems to kind of be in the background a lot. He's not seen a whole lot. You know, it's kind of the opposite of Batman Forever, where the question mark was just everywhere, right? You know, it was part of the logo for the movie. It was in all the ads. Like, it was all over the place, that question mark. They're not really doing that. This Riddler is very different. And, you know, you could tell just from the marketing, it's all very secretive with him. Even in the trailers, you don't even see his face.
Well, yes. So, and that's, I think it's a good thing, because that's part, the mystery, you know, is part of this film. And I think, you know, as much as you can see the 2.5 minutes, but we don't know. I mean, I think there's tons of surprises coming in this movie, and it's going to be really, really, really fun.
I mean, you just start thinking about what we haven't seen, you know, what they showed us when they only filmed 25%. Now that the movie's in the can, it's just like, what else is there? Like, it's everything I've seen, I've enjoyed, I've liked. I can't wait.
And, how many times have you watched the trailer so far? Since it dropped Saturday,
at least once every hour, at least, you know, like, it's just like, oh, what am I gonna watch? I'll spend 2 minutes and watch this trailer. You know, it's just on. It's always at the top of my browser history.
Yeah,
I don't even have to type it in anymore. I just got to go to the history. It's always within reach. Like, that car is absolutely phenomenal. The more you see it, the more it just grows on me. And that profile shot, it does kind of look like it's got a little fin action going on in the back of the fender. So it's a Batmobile to me.
Him chasing the Riddler, and the Riddler, I got you. He's laughing, and then
Penguin,
the Penguin. I'm sorry, and he bursts through the flames and jumps over whatever wreckage there was, and, you know, rams the Penguin's car, and then you see his car's been flipped over, and he's looking out that window, and Batman's just coming. He's on a wall. He's not running. He's just walking. You know?
Has anyone ever been more unrecognizable as a human being than Colin Farrell is in this movie?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, a complete transformation. I know Bale was, who did Bale? Bale had all that makeup on for what movie? I forget. Wasn't he Dick Cheney?
Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think, was Bale? Bale usually physically transforms himself. Well,
yeah,
you know?
Sometimes he doesn't eat for about 2 years.
Yeah,
you know, just you see those guys, and they just, you know, acting through that makeup. You know, it's crazy. There's so much prosthetic on his face. It's so crazy to me that's Colin Farrell, because it literally doesn't look like him at all. The scars on his face, the scars on Alfred's face. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I've heard people say, why cast Colin Farrell when you could have maybe, you know, cast
Jonah Hill,
a guy, you know, older than Colin, mm-hmm. who would, you know, look more like that character, then you wouldn't have to use as much prosthetics and makeup. And I'm like, it doesn't even bother me. I mean, he wanted the actor, and, you know, I'm sure they planned on this, the Penguin being having to have a lot of makeup, you know.
I wonder how long that process took.
Oh, I bet it was hours. I think he mentioned it. I think he said something like it was, you know, 3-4 hours.
I believe it. Yeah, that's usually what it takes.
Like I think he was on Ellen or something like that several months ago, mm-hmm. Talking about it. And do you know? Do you need anything else? Do you need another trailer? Are you
no,
good?
I mean, I said it on the Iceberg Lounge the Saturday. I don't personally. You know, again, like, some of these movies release way too much footage in trailers. And that was good about the TV spot. It was nothing new. It was just bits and pieces of this trailer. And I appreciate that, because I'm like, okay, like, it's good for people. Like, non-movie fans are not going to go on YouTube and watch a 2.5-minute trailer, really. So, like, again, the general audience, 30-second TV spot, and then they're on to the next thing. And that's fine. But for me, like, I don't need anything else. Just keep it like, we're what, October?
Mm-hmm.
It's coming. It's not that far away.
No.
I can wait. I really can. I mean, you know what I really like? I liked how we got a little bit of that red from that flare. while he's in like this. I don't know where he is. He could be in a river, a sewer. I have no idea. Yeah. It seems like the police are with him. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, that's where the red comes from. So it's in the movie. It's not some crazy weird aesthetic that people want to complain about. It's a part of the film. And, you know, it's all, obviously it's on my shirts, the merchandise. There's so much to be interested about. Like, you know, we go back to Dark Knight and the trilogy. He's working more with the police than ever before. Like, he's, I know there's the interrogation scene, but it seems like he's with the cops way more in this movie. Like, you know, like he's leading the charge here. Like, have we ever seen a Batman this involved with the cops in live action since 66? You know, no. He just strolls in Gordon's office.
Yeah.
You know, it's absent in 89 and Returns and not really present in Batman Forever. And then you have the trilogy and Gordon doesn't pop up until Justice League. So it's very interesting. And I'm just so excited and I'm just pumped. Sometimes I can't even speak about it. That's how great it is.
Well, it was the mic drop for Vandome, as we all
2 years in a row,
you know, suspected, which I mean, you know, I always say it was like back in the, you know, the mid 50s when Elvis was touring and when he was just starting out and he was, you know, started out as opening acts and then it got, and they were like headlining big, big name country stars for that period, you know, Farron Young and all these others that were the headliners, and then no one wanted to follow him because the auditorium would be empty, you know, after he played. So I know more is coming, a lot more is coming. And
when you say more, what do you mean? You mean more like more trailers or something like that?
I think we'll get into. I bet there's another trailer.
You think there's another one?
We'll see TV spots, you know, pick up. I mean, you think about what's coming up. We're getting to the halfway point of football season. You're going to have the World Series here. I already mentioned that. You're going to have college football,
basketball, and hockey
playoffs. I mean, there's some sporting events that's going to have really big audiences. You know, the BCS championship game in January. And then you got the Super Bowl, which is, like I've said many times here on the show, it's literally like 2 weeks from the movie. The perfect time.
The movie drops on March 4th. Is that the NCAA tournament?
It'll be after.
It'll be after?
Yes.
Okay. I was wondering, because that's a big one too, you know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of, especially these sporting events. I know we're concentrating a lot on sports, but sporting events where people bet, a lot of eyes are on. So I was wondering, you know, people gamble on the NCAA. So it would be a good idea.
You'll have a lot of the,
they'll have the conference tournaments probably.
Yeah. The summer shows or the summer movies will drop, you know. I'm sure they'll have advertisements for those during the NCAA tournament, but yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, we're going to get more merchandise. We're going to get, you know, we'll hear radio spots. I mean, it's going to pick up, and I don't know. And I'm just guessing, I'm just assuming, but not even assuming, I'm hoping. I think it would be kind of cool if they did some kind of viral campaign with the Riddler, because it was kind of works with, you know, people, you having to solve clues or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're going to,
We haven't even got that really since Dark Knight, you know. Rises didn't do that. And I don't think anyone's really done anything.
Been nothing even close to the scale of the Why So Serious campaign for Dark Knight.
I remember it's funny because, you know, we always go back to Dark Knight, and because just, you know, when they released that first picture of the Joker, pitchers play baseball. The first picture of the Joker, piece by piece, pixel by pixel, and then you get the full image. You know, people are like, what is this? He looks like a skull. You know, it kind of feels the same way about the Riddler, you know, like, you know, some people aren't happy about how he looks, but, you know, to me, it's.
Well, let me say this to these. Look, these are movies. They are adapting the source material. It's not a comic book. These films are made for a different audience. Okay.
Everything's a take to me, though. Like, everyone wants to complain, like, I don't want this. I don't want another take on Batman. But if you ask me, like, every writer has a take, every artist has a take, every director has a take. That's their vision. You know, you've read how many comic books or how many years. Batman looks different. Jim Lee's Batman's different than Greg Capullo's Batman. Yeah. That's just the way it is. You know, he wears the suit. He's got the logo on his chest. He wears the cape. You know who the guy is. So for me, it's not that much of a difference. You know, it's, you know.
You had posted something on Twitter, and I quote tweeted you and said, you know, aesthetics do not a Batman or Joker or Riddler make, you know? I don't think the Riddler having a green leotard with question marks all over it and wearing a boiler hat is not core to the character, you know?
I mean, we haven't seen the pink hair since forever.
Yeah, and it would be, could you see Paul Dano wearing even a green suit with question marks all over it would look silly.
I go back to something like the Arkham games where the Riddler drives a mech robot, you know, we've never seen that ever before. That's, you know, again, the Riddler leaves clues. He's got a green poncho, green jacket. There's a question mark on the jacket. I'm fine with it. Sure, he's wearing a mask that's totally different. He looks more like Leatherface than the Riddler there, but it doesn't bother me. Again, you know, every artist has a vision and an idea, and you know, just because Matt Reeves is an artist with a camera and not a pen and pencil, makes him no different than anybody else.
Yeah, and I think this is my final thoughts. I love the shots. This the way they've captured Batman. I mean, whether he's standing or walking, walking when he's in wherever he is, and it looks like a sewer, and he's getting shot, and you know it's dark, and you can see the sparks fly from him hitting the whatever bulletproof.
His suit's more bulletproof than anything we saw.
Yeah,
It's funny because it returns. Catwoman's able to penetrate that suit from the side with her finger or their fingernail. We've seen him get shot in Begins, you know, in Dark Knight and Rises. You know, the plates create places for bullets, straight shots. So, again, complete disregard for his own safety. Just a complete force of nature, almost in the sense of Michael Myers. Just nothing can stop me. I'm going to progress forward. And, you know, hopefully he doesn't kill anybody.
Yeah. He just doesn't. He doesn't care if anything happens to him because he's on a mission, you know?
Yeah.
And I was, I found a link, I think it came through the Facebook fan group. And it was for the Chinese, the China version of Fandom. I don't know if you saw this. And it's like a 30-minute interview with Zoe Kravitz and Matt Reeves and Robert Pattinson. Mm-hmm. It's really good. It's just hard to get through because all the questions are in Chinese, and then only the answers, of course, are in English, and then the subtitles are also in Chinese as well. So you don't know what's really being asked of them. But I know one question, and I watched specifically was Pattinson was obviously asked of how he prepared for the role. He talked about how many comics he read. I mean, going back to the Golden Age, even Tom King's run. He mentioned specifically during Tom King's run on Batman when we started shooting, and how he prepared physically, and you can see without his shirt on with the scars on the back. You know, he's not Affleck jacked up in Batman versus Superman, but the dude's in pretty good shape.
He looks good.
Role. And he mentioned that and you kind of alluded to that, you know, Batman has looked different in some artists. He's this hulking huge figure, and some he's more, you know, stealth type, you know, ninja physique or whatever. And
I mean, McGinnis's Batman is he's a very bubbly, muscular Batman as opposed to like someone
and
like
Pattinson said, you know, for this one, he's young. And so he's not at the point where he's just this massive brute yet. He's and he mentioned that, you know, that he's going to be a little bit bigger in other films. So in the future films. So yeah, it's really good. It's a really good interview with all of them.
I also don't think he has distinguished the difference between Batman and Bruce Wayne yet.
No.
Which kind of reminds me a little bit of like Keaton. I feel like Keaton at times was Batman and Bruce Wayne simultaneously. You think of the mime scene. When he's with Vicky and Joker, I know who you are. Like it almost seems like Batman overtakes Bruce Wayne at some points, and I feel like he's got to learn how to become that playboy. You know, like
I've said
there's a little bit of that
time.
Begins, you know, where he's like, what do guys with my money do? And he has to learn that. And it almost seems like in this movie, he's too stubborn to even listen to Alfred.
Yeah. I mean, in Begins, of course, there's Bruce Wayne, and then there's Batman, there's those two. And he has to, through Alfred, you know, he has to figure out
what public Bruce Wayne is supposed to be.
Polo, for instance.
You know, yes. And it looks like in this movie, in the Batman, it's just Batman. And yeah. Batman and Bruce Wayne are the same.
We're going to really see him evolve.
And
this is a psyche Batman movie.
Fully formed Batman does not exist yet. Fully formed Bruce Wayne doesn't exist yet. Maybe even the private Bruce Wayne that only Alfred sees is not there yet. You know, that he hasn't separated Batman from Bruce Wayne as well. And at some point, we'll probably get to the public Bruce Wayne, because people claim, well, why did, you know, he just doesn't look like, you know, he's got long hair, the emo Bruce. He's not putting on some act yet in public, you know?
Yeah. There's no,
so he doesn't care. He doesn't care about what he looks like necessarily. And he's not putting on a show to throw people off. And then it will get there. You got to mention Zoe Kravitz, the stuff you saw of Catwoman, and really the dynamic between Pattinson and her. Pattinson's Batman and her is Selina is great.
That's something I really want to touch on, because there's a lot of Selina in this trailer, and I kind of get in the vibe that she's almost, their relationship is the backbone of the movie, and he specifically mentions Tom King's run in the comic books, and that is the backbone of that story, is Bat-Cat. So it looks like and they're going to be partnering up. It seems like they're going to be partnering up, right? It might be the best Batman Catwoman stuff we've got since Returns. You know, like in my mind, like I know the Rises has their moments and eventually they end up together, but I feel like Keaton and Pfeiffer were really a force to be reckoned with in Returns from the get-go there. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, what, you know, it seems like she's able to kind of reach the humanity of this Batman, you know, when she asks him who he is and he has to think about it for a second.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, they are kind of like almost one side of the same coin, because they're very similar. Everything about this is just great. I can't gush enough about it.
Two things I'll bring up before, because I want to ask you one other thing that was from Fandome, but before moving to the next topic and then we'll get out of here. Two things that my son, Micah, mentioned, I'll throw it to you, because he kind of stumped me as well. One was, he said, what do you think the red represents? Because you talked about the red, you know, look at your shirt. They used red. Look back over here, the Batman, you know.
It's interesting they used red instead of green.
Yeah, and it's like he said, rage, anger, you know, am I reading too much into it, he said? Or, you know, I said, I don't know, but Matt Reeves is pretty, he's pretty deliberate, you know. Yeah. There's a reason why, there's got to be a reason for the red.
I'm not sure myself. Well, I mentioned it earlier. Like, we saw a little bit of the red in the footage while he's leading the charge there in that wherever that water is from the flare. So, you know, I don't know if it's just a cool thing. It's interesting. Again, they use the red instead of the green. You know, maybe because it's an interesting sell. You know, a red Riddler, right? Like, I know he's not red in the movie, but in the promos he is. So, you know, and then Haas did an interesting thing on Twitter where he put a green filter over the Riddler. And, I'll say it looked great, you know, but that's not what Mr. Reeves wanted to use. So
no,
I'm sure there's a reason.
I like the red. I think it means something. Maybe it'll take watching the movie to understand that. And then also, Micah mentioned, he said, it's like he's on a suicide mission.
Yeah.
In terms of, maybe he's not out to actually die, but he doesn't care if he does.
I think that's evident throughout the trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, he says it obviously, but
yeah.
I mean, the guy's eating bullets left and right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
The only question from Fandome I had was, who ate more bullets, Batman or Black Adam?
Yeah.
You know, between the two of them, they must have took like 250 rounds.
And Batman is just a man, so
that's true.
What's even, there's more, no magic awesome there about it. Quick thoughts on the Flash teaser.
I loved it. I mean, I can't lie. You know, hearing those Elfman notes, hearing that voiceover brought a tear to my eye. I never thought Keaton would return. I thought, you know, it's just magical. I don't know what this movie has in store, and that's the best thing about it. It's all pure speculation. I had no idea there'd be two Flashes. I've been trying to keep, spoiler free on this thing. I know they're everywhere. I've been muting accounts left and right, trying to avoid that stuff. And that was great. And then, you know, like, I mean, let's be honest. We all felt like the Flash when he ripped off the tarp of the car. I mean, holy, yeah, it's just, that's it. That's how we all feel. It was cool to get a look at Sasha's Supergirl. I'm just so pumped for this. I can't wait to get a shot at Keaton at whatever suit he wears. I hope to God at some point he says I'm Batman. The fact that, you know, we're getting the Batman and then a Batman in the Flash movie is just wonderful to me. And, you know, I'm totally entrenched in this live action DC multiverse. Bring it on. It's a comic book dream, fans, dream come true. Let's be honest. Like, you know, people have been complaining about the plan and what are they doing? And this is it. And you know, I just bring it on. Let's go. Like, I'm so pumped. I can't remember how pumped I was for, like, BVS. I was really pumped for getting Batman and Superman on the screen for the first time. But this whole, like, lineup of stuff has got me so hyped for this stuff. Between everything, Black Adam, Shazam 2, Aquaman 2, for crying out loud. I mean, you saw what Black Manta looked like in the little bit that we saw him with the silver, for the silver dome, just harking back to his roots. It's just, it's hard to complain about anything right now. It really is.
I would say that the teaser was, I mean, I think Batman Keaton is the star of the teaser. Clearly, Keaton's return is going to be a big, big selling point for the film. Mm-hmm. I've heard whispers from people in the know that this thing is going to be sold as a Batman movie for the most part. Even though it's called The Flash, and it is The Flash's film, but that's going to be very, I mean, Keaton's like the co-lead, so he plays a huge role in the film.
He is the big gun. I mean, let's be honest, you know, there's a reason why he was brought in BVS, and it's probably the same reason why he's brought into The Flash.
You know, I mean, yeah.
He's the moneymaker, let's be honest. That's it.
My level of excitement for The Flash is because of the fact that Keaton is in it. I'll be honest, if it was just a Flash movie, yes, I would go see it. Yes, I would be wanting to see it, but I wouldn't be on the hype level. My hype level for it would
it totally takes it up a notch.
Because I mean, I'm a Batman guy first and foremost.
Well, especially for people like us. I mean, you know, you lived through '89. You were there.
Yeah.
I grew up with it. You know, Keaton is my Batman. It makes sense to me. It just does.
It's just, Micah brought up a good point on your Iceberg Lounge show, is that the hype level for him, he's 24. It's not huge because of Keaton. He knows Keaton. He's seen Batman. He's seen Batman Returns. But he goes, it would be more like when I'm older, it would be like for Bale coming back, you know, because Bale's his Batman, you know? He was a kid through the Dark Knight trilogy. And
all these kids are about to learn who Batman really is.
Yeah. But my level of excitement for the Batman is really off the chains. It's Batman Begins level, because I was hugely excited for that one. I love the Dark Knight trilogy, and I always will love the Dark Knight trilogy. And it's like it's the pinnacle to me of superhero cinema and the genre.
I agree.
But this the Batman is more. It looks to be even more up my alley than the Dark Knight trilogy was, because this thing is. I am a solo Batman. I'm not a huge fan of Batman with sidekicks and all this stuff, but this solo Batman, gritty, grounded noir, realistic street level. This is more than that, than even the trilogy was. I'm excited beyond belief. Yeah.
It feels very year one. It just does.
Yeah. You know, even though he's in year two. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just figuring everything out. You know, like, you see him make some mistakes in year one. You see it, even Earth One, Geoff Johns Earth One. Like, I get vibes of that as well. So, again, Mr. Reeves does not need to make a movie better than The Dark Knight or any part of that trilogy, but if he does, that's something special.
If he does,
no one loses, we just win. You know, it has to be at worst Batman 89 and at its best The Dark Knight, right? Like, but if you get it somewhere in the middle there, I'm good.
one last thing, I'll just to piggyback off what you were saying about, you know, the state of DC on film right now. I think they are really kind of mirroring what they've done in comic books for decades and decades and decades, where DC historically was not as connected as Marvel was. Marvel was created to be a connected, overtly connected comic book universe centered in New York City. And that's everything, you know, revolved around that. Talking to Michael Uslan about the history of DC, he's taught me a lot, and how each character was their own little, you know, kingdoms, and they had their own kings and princes and people, and they really didn't intermix all that much. And if they did, it had nothing to do with what the solo stuff was doing. And now it's almost like they're doing in the comic books. And DC has always been very creator driven and whatnot. And you've got these films, even though that they are technically connected, they still are very director driven, and they're not beholden to setting up another film or advertising another film with cameos or whatnot and leading up to some big team up. They're just making good movies. And yeah, some of them will connect, some of them won't. That's fine. The Batman is not connected to anything. I mean,
even modern day comic books are like that, you know, like, sometimes the black label books don't connect with modern continuity. Detective Comics has nothing to do with what goes on in, you know, a Flash comic book, but every once in a while they will interact. It's not so much an issue for me. I don't want a product personally that is as divisive as what we've gotten. I kind of want something that'll unite the fandom and bring us back together. You can dislike certain things. Like we said, some people don't like how the Riddler or something looks, and that's fine. But I want a good overall final product, because, you know, coming off of what we just came off of and having DC on film a complete and utter mess, it just bums you out. As someone who spends a lot of money on merch, toys, action figures, t-shirts, posters, like, you know, you can see it all behind me. You know, when this stuff is, you know, quote unquote, not good, and, you know, we're constantly arguing over it, it's miserable to be a fan. But this seems to have gotten a lot of people together, and we've kind of been united, and that's a good thing, because I feel like we haven't been that way in a long time. You know, between, you know, these standalone movies like the Batman or something that's more connected, like the Flash, or even, you know, Black Adam, Shazam. It just seems that people are really just enjoying this, and that's what I want us all to get back to, is just having fun as DC fans, as comic book fans. You know, like, how could you, it's tough to complain about everything. You know, I may have my gripes about like MCU Spider-Man, but that doesn't mean I'm not pumped for No Way Home, right? Like, I want to see these movies, and I want them all to do good, and I want them all to be amazing. So I just want something that's just not as divisive as it has been. I want everyone to kind of be on the same page.
You know, I would say that it's not really the filmmaker's fault per se that we've had a divisive
period. It's a studio. They put the cart before the horse. They rushed
and
it.
And it's just there was something weird going on with the last very almost on a almost political level type of tribal
cooks in the kitchen.
The tribalism and that leading to you can't like this if you like that and vice
and
versa.
I feel like we're stepping away from that, honestly.
Well,
like,
I would hope so, because I'm still seeing a lot of that bullshit, because
not as much as we have in the past. So like, again, like,
there, well, it's starting to fade out, I hope.
Well, you had to get something new in order to get moved past the old stuff, right? Like, you have to progress forward, and that's what I mean, think
you
we're
still
doing.
You still had a hashtag campaign that was attempting to take place and hijack the fandom stuff, which
failed,
you know,
effort.
I don't think that worked at all, but, you know, it's still there. I'm excited because I did not have fun covering anything after BVS came out. It just was not fun. I mean, even questioned whether I wanted to keep doing this, but I'm glad I did because the Batman's coming in.
Well, that's good too, because I didn't join the website till after PBS.
So I hope you're right. Things are getting better, but I think DC on film is in a really good spot. So
I haven't been happier with DC on film. This is the happiest I've been in a long time, to be honest with you. Probably like since before BVS, like the lead up to, because that seems to be like the dividing factor. Like post BVS, everyone seemed to like kind of get divided there. I you're getting characters you never thought you'd see on screen. And, you know, we've got characters on even television that we never thought we'd, like, whoever thought we'd get a Doom Patrol TV show. So I just think creatively they're doing a lot of things. I think they're very ambitious. I know some people are upset we got nothing about a Green Lantern show, but it's hard to be upset on Christmas when you have so many toys to play with. Like, you know, like, you may not have gotten everything you wanted, but you got so much here that it's tough to honestly be upset. Like, would I have liked to heard something about this Green Lantern stuff? Sure. But to be honest, between all these trailers and all these announcements, I forgot about it till somebody mentioned it.
Real quick, I just remembered. Give me your thoughts quick on the Caped Crusader animated series that's coming out.
You put people to. I put on Twitter. It's a show created by mad geniuses. You've got Reeves, you got Abrams, you got Tim, and you got Mr. Tucker. That's a Hall of Fame lineup of creative forces right there. Bruce Timm said it's Batman the Animated Series. If we had creative control, bring it on. I'm ready. Anything that, you know, these guys touch, I'm taking a look at. You know, like J.J. Abrams got me interested in Star Trek. Not many people can do that. So yeah. I know Clow's very happy about that. you know, Matt Reeves, Cloverfield, I've been in love with him since then. At Tim and Tucker. My entire childhood is you know, was blessed by those two gentlemen, and I've had the pleasure of talking to Mr. Tucker numerous times. I'm a big fan of everything he does, so I'm just bring it on again. Like, I'm so excited. We've been wanting a new animated Batman show for how long? I honestly can't even remember the last one. I guess you could say this Justice League action one, but that's not really for me.
Beware the Batman was the last.
Yeah. Batman. And that was a good one. I think that one ended prematurely.
Yeah, I do too.
So I'm ready. I can't wait. It's a different, and I appreciate the different style, you know, the old school Batman, the original Batman look to it. So it looks like it'll be something fun and adventurous. And I just hope all these guys can get along.
it's almost like if there wasn't Batman the Animated Series and they were going to do it and they had no restrictions. You know,
yeah.
And I love it because the focus is on a younger solo Batman. Mm-hmm. And I like the whole idea that they brought up, even that the Batman 70, not 75, but back from Batman 70, that little short that was almost, you know, like Batman and the Monster Man based on that.
Yes.
And using that, it's this aesthetic will be similar to that. And, you know, even, you know, even because I, you know, I think it was James Tucker said, I'd love to do it in black and white.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, he did say that. So,
you know, so yeah,
It's hard to argue with that, man.
I am fired for that as well. So, all right. So I think that's going to cover it all from fandom with the focus on the Batman, and go ahead and you can plug, whatever you would like, Pete.
You can follow me on social media. It's Twitter, Instagram, is @Zach_Vero, @PeteIllustrated. Follow podcast number one that I co-host with the champion of Long Island, Eric Holzman, @Straight_O_G. That's Straight Out of Gotham. We have a Facebook page and a Facebook group. Please check us out. We're all over podcast world, Google, iTunes, all that stuff. So just search for us. We're there. Follow my other podcast, The Italian Spider-Man Coalition, that I co-host with Nick and Nico Caruso. That is a wonderful program where we just delve into our favorite webhead. Check out @TeamYellowOval. We're pumped for Keaton. We're pumped for the return of the Oval since 1995. It's been a long time. It's well-deserved. And, you know, we're even getting a Flash wearing an Oval now. So that's interesting. Just check out Batman on Film Proper. I got reviews of Batwoman now, which is, you know, pretty good. Detective Comics, I got some good stuff over there. Check that out. Batman on Film YouTube, I got interviews with Mr. Uslin, Mr. Tucker, who we mentioned earlier, Tara Strong, all that stuff. I got toy reviews, action figures, a bunch of good stuff. So I'm all over the place. Hit me up on Twitter. Let's talk, let's chat, and let's have a good time. This is a great time to be a DC fan.
James Tucker is a friend of Batman on Films. I've got the chance to visit with him.
He's a friend of fanboys everywhere.
a few times, and I always, for years, I would hit him up like, do Gotham by Gaslight as the animated film. And he's like, dude, that's like on my wish list. And they finally did it. So that was cool. For me, I guess, you know, just go to Batman on Film. Do you want to mention the Batman Podcast Network? You can find all the shows. Just go to batmanpodcastnetwork.com. You'll be directed to all of those shows at Batman on Film proper. And follow me on Twitter at Batman on Film. Batman on Film news feeds on Twitter is at The Batman on Film. Instagram at Batman on Film. Patreon.com/Batman on Film. Got some Batman on Film gear, help support the site. And hell, I think that's all I got. So for Pete, I'm Bill. Thanks for watching or listening. And the Batman is coming, Pete. The Batman is coming.
I can't wait.
Thanks for listening to the Batman on Film Social Hour, Jet's official BOF podcast and vlog. Follow Jet on Twitter at Batman on Film. For BOF news only on Twitter, follow at The Batman on Film. For Jet and everyone at BOF, I'm announcer Rachel. Authoritative, definitive, the original Batman on Film.